Well, good morning. My name is Ryan Bosler. I'm the Connections Director here at the church. And we're in a series that we've titled Evermore Proclaim, where we're looking at some of the classic Christmas songs. And the reason why we decided to do a series like this is because when you kind of slow down and listen to some of these Christmas songs, you realize that, you know, they're so rich in Christian doctrine. And if you're about my age or maybe a little older, you probably even, you know, sang some of these songs at school. I know that I did, and I actually went to a public school. So, I mean, let that settle in for a minute and, you know, kind of blow your mind. In fact, just a week or so ago, I went to my son's, it's now called a holiday concert, and I can assure you that there was no mention of Christmas or Jesus or anything like that. But I remember one day when I was about 6 or 7 years old, and we had a Christmas party at school, and we actually sang the song that we're going to talk about today, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," which is from Luke chapter 2, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and they announced, you know, the birth of Jesus, and they went off to Bethlehem to find Jesus and laying in the manger and all that, and so once we got done singing the songs, then we had to do like a little project where they wanted us to like recreate the manger scene, and we had to, you know, make clay out of the characters, and, you know, like sticks and hay and all that kind of stuff. Well, I had this friend Chad, who was a classmate of mine. He also happened to be my neighbor, and he was like super excited to do this project. And then when we went home from school later that afternoon, we got off the bus, and Chad just like sprinted down our street to go show his mom, all excited about this project. And now Chad grew up in a family that like they weren't very religious, and so Chad's mom looked at him and just asked him, like, hey, do you actually know who the people are, like, in this, you know, in this scene? And Chad was very, very proud and very confidently. He started pointing to all the characters, and he said, these are the shepherds right here, and this is Joseph, and this is Mary, and right here, lying in the manger, is baby Cheez-It. As it turns out, Charles Wesley was also very excited to tell the nativity story when he wrote "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" back in 1739. And now Charles was the younger brother of John Wesley, who gets the lion's share of being the one who started the Methodist movement. But actually, the Methodist movement was really began by Charles when he was in college. And also, you know, Charles played a significant role by contributing, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9,000 hymns, which the early Methodists used to sing. Over a 53-year period, Charles wrote 56 volumes of hymns. And he's credited as being one of the, if not the most influential songwriter in Christian history. And now all of this is even more incredible when you know that it was just 3 years prior to writing "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" that Charles was feeling lost and defeated and disoriented in his faith. He had just returned home from England from a mission trip, if you could believe it or not, to go visit the Georgia colony in America. And let's just say it didn't go very well. And he echoed his brother's John's words after the trip in that, "I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who will convert me?" And so Charles understood religion, but it did very little to satisfy the deepest longings of his heart. And so Charles knew a lot about the rules of faith, but he didn't know about what it meant to really have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so what he did was he spent like the next 16 months reading Martin Luther's commentary on the book of Galatians. And God used that to open his eyes and convict him at the heart level. And immediately after Charles' conversion, he wrote this in his journal. "I now find myself at peace with God and rejoice in hope of loving Christ." So then it's not a surprise that when Charles Wesley wrote Hark the Herald Angels Sing, he focused on those characteristics about Jesus that impacted him most. It was the peace and the reconciliation and the humility and the hope. The title of the song itself is, it's actually a call to action. Hark is a word that means listen. And a herald is someone who announces important news. So in other words, the title is saying, listen, these angels have some really important news that they need to share. And so today we're going to talk about three newsworthy aspects of Christmas the angels want us to lean in and listen to. And the first is this, listen, don't miss the magnitude of Christmas. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Immediately, the song brings us to that story in Luke chapter 2 when God's angels appeared to some shepherds who, they were out there just kind of minding their own business, tending to their flock. And in verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." Now, when it says that a magnitude of heavenly hosts, it literally means a multitude of armies of angels. So not just one angel, not just one army of angels. We're talking multiple armies of multiple angels show up to announce the birth of Jesus Christ. And I think that speaks to the magnitude of this moment in the context of human history. And it's fitting that Charles Wesley opens up the song by talking about really the most profound aspect of this newfound relationship that he has with Jesus. It's that he found peace with God. But how did this happen? Because prior to God using Charles' experience reading through that Luther's commentary from Galatians, by all accounts, Charles lived a very good and very pious life, and yet it wasn't enough for him to have peace. I mentioned that it was really Charles that started the Methodist movement when he was in college. And it was there at Oxford University that it was known as the Holy Club. And they were known for, hours-long prayer and reading scripture early in the morning and even late, well into the night. And they didn't drink and they didn't smoke. And they went and did ministry at different prisons. The name Methodist literally comes from the Holy Club's very religious, very very rigid and disciplined methods, hence the name Methodist. So by all accounts, Charles lived a good life, a noble life, but he did not have peace. Why is that? It's because he was not reconciled with God. And when it says God and sinners reconciled, it's pointing us to the reality that because of our sinful nature, our default position with God is not one of peace, but hostility. And if you're like me, like you might be thinking, I'm not hostile towards God. I like God. He's okay in my book, but without Jesus, you need to understand God is hostile towards you. And so the angels say, listen, reconciliation is possible with the coming of Jesus, the newborn king. And reconciliation is not necessarily the same thing as forgiveness. Forgiveness is, peace within us, whereas reconciliation is peace between us. So I may forgive you for slapping me in the face, but I'm not necessarily saying that we're going to be friends anymore. So forgiveness is part of reconciliation for sure, but the point of reconciliation is a restoration of the relationship. And Charles Wesley felt the same way that I think many of us feel when we're in conflict with someone else, that yeah, it's nice to be forgiven, but man, you feel so much better when that relationship gets repaired, right? Here's how Paul described it to the church at Corinth. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciled to the world, to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Now, this is huge. Because of Jesus, it means that my relationship and your relationship with God can be restored, because Jesus moved towards us in coming down to earth to be with us. And he did that so that it would help repair our relationship with God. And so to that extent, the angels say, "Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king." Now, the problem, I think, for many of us here is that we don't consider the magnitude of Christmas. Why? Because often we're too busy heralding something else. Here's the point. Here's the point I want you to know, is that you can't help but be a herald. You can't help but announce something with your life, with your words, with your choices, with your actions. So the question is, who or what do you herald? I can think of at least seven things that we typically herald. And maybe this applies to you. Maybe one of this will resonate with you. The first one is this. Sometimes we typically herald our job. So do you often talk about how important your job is? Or maybe you like to talk about, you know, how stressful your job is. Now, one that I think that I've heard a lot recently, and maybe it's in light of what a lot of economists refer to as the Great Resignation, and maybe this is you, is you talk about how much you hate your job. Another thing we herald, I think, you know, if you're a parent, that maybe it's your kids. You know, did you see Susie score that goal last night? I mean, it won the game. Like little Tommy, he's so advanced. I mean, he's in second grade, but he's like reading at a fourth grade level. Now my kids have great manners. Like they're so well behaved. I mean, so your baby's not sleeping through the night yet? My baby started sleeping through the night when she was like 2 weeks old. So I don't know what that says to you. Are your conversations, you know, mainly centered around your kids? Or how about this? When somebody else starts talking about their kid, do you always find a way to somehow relate the conversation back to your kid? Now, another thing that I think we herald, is our lifestyle. You know, talking about our vacations or the places that we've traveled, or maybe it's talking about your socioeconomic position or even your health. I mean, how about this? Have you ever like gone on a diet and then all you did was just talk to other people and try to convince them about how this same diet could just change their life like it did for you? Or maybe for you, it's your productivity that you herald. So do you like to talk about all the things that you have to do, all the things that, are on your to-do list? And like, man, like I'm juggling so many things right now. It's unbelievable. Like, I don't think you could probably do that if you were in my shoes. Or how about this? Like when somebody asks you the question, how are you doing? Is your typical response, man, I'm busy. I'm just so busy. I'm so busy right now. Another thing that I think we herald oftentimes is your importance. Do you think that your company or maybe your team that they couldn't operate without you? Or maybe if you weren't at home, that like everything at home would fall apart, and you're convinced that your kids would, that they would be swinging from the ceiling fans. Or do you believe that like deep down, all of the different things that you're involved in would somehow cease to exist if you weren't in the picture anymore? And why is it? And why is it that you feel so compelled to, you know, provide the, you know, certain details about your life and your feelings and your situation and everything that you do on social media? Why do you do that? Or sometimes I think, you know, another thing that we typically herald is our hobbies. And so maybe that's golf or your sports teams or gardening or cooking or even something, you know, as simple as what show you're binge watching right now. Like have you ever gotten to a debate with someone where, you know, you've been talking about, you know, either why they should or they shouldn't, you know, watch a certain show on Netflix or something like that? Or I think another thing, you know, that we typically herald is our politics. You know, like I'm liberal and you should be too. You know, or I'm conservative and it's the only way that you should be. Do you tend to view people through the lens of what they believe politically? Well, I mean, you know, of course he would say that. He's a progressive. Or of course she would think that way because, you know, she's a fundamentalist. These are all things that we typically herald. But the angels were so moved by the magnitude of Jesus breaking onto the scene at Christmas that they said, listen, being reconciled to God is the most important event in human history because it brings peace. And it brings mercy to all who trust in the newborn king. They couldn't help but herald this good news. And in the same way, you and I can't help but be a herald as well. The problem for us is that we typically herald things that have nothing to do with Jesus or reconciliation. So our struggle is much like Charles Wesley's. It's that that what we herald won't allow us to feel lasting peace and mercy at the soul level. And the angels continue into the next stanza, and they're saying, listen, don't miss the humility of Christmas. Christ, by heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. The angels just, they could not believe that from his lofty position, Jesus would leave heaven and he would temporarily give up his throne and he would come down to earth in the most fragile and weak manner possible as a baby. A baby fully dependent on others to survive. Listen to how it's described here. Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by, here it is, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Now to the glory of God the Father, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity, pleased with us in flesh to dwell. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Jesus came to earth in a way that no one expected. Everybody expected a military leader, a political leader, you know, somebody who would lead by force, someone who would take down the oppressive Roman government and restore Israel to political respect and dignity. Instead, King Jesus came humbly in the form of a servant. Because it to him, like it wasn't about him, it was about loving and saving other people. And I think that we miss that kind of humility at Christmas. Let me give you just like a little example of what I'm talking about. Let me show you. Here's a picture of our Christmas card this year. I think we're kind of going for like, you know, funny, like, you know, kid expressions or faces. But what I think is just like at least a little bit messed up, maybe a little ironic. When you think about this picture, you know, this Christmas card is that we're sending out pictures of our family for someone else's birthday. I mean, did anyone else like send out a Christmas card like this? You don't have to raise your hand. Like, I've already seen most of your Christmas cards. Let me even take this one step further. You know, we've gotten like maybe two Christmas cards so far this year, where it was actually on the card, it was a picture of like, you know, the scene at the manger, or like a Star of David, and immediately the first things that we were like was like, oh man, like why didn't they just send out a picture of their family, right? Here's why this matters. Because your herald reveals your heart. So if all your Christmas traditions center around you and your family and your preferences, then that reveals something about your heart. It says something like, the most important thing about Christmas is really my happiness. But in this song, the angels say, listen, don't miss the humility of Jesus' example at Christmas, because it's something so radical, so countercultural. It can literally change the hearts and change the world. So I want you to try something this week. Let's just call it a little Christmas challenge. I want you to pick a day this week and don't talk about yourself or anything that has to do with you at all. Like, don't talk about like your plans for Christmas or your work or your kids or your family or your feelings or what you like or what you don't like. And listen, I'm not asking you to do this because I don't think you should share your life with other people. That's not the point. The point is that just for one day, I want you to spend all of your energy focusing on other people. And then when the day is over, just take a couple minutes to kind of reflect back on that experience. And ask, you know, what was it like not talking about yourself? You know, did you think that it was hard? Or was it easy? Now, were there times where you really wanted to interject your opinion, but you couldn't? And do you think that if you would have interjected your opinion, like somehow that would have changed the outcome of the conversation? Or maybe what did you learn about someone else? And do you think that you would have learned those same things had you talked more and listened less? The reality is, you and I can't help but be a herald. Everyone's a herald of something, and oftentimes, what we herald is very self-centered. And it comes from a heart that lacks humility. And so Christmas is a great time to, you know, refocus and remember that everything about the life and ministry of Jesus was others focused. And the angels say, listen, what matters most at Christmas is to celebrate the reconciling power of Jesus Christ. That's what should capture your hearts most of all. And the last thing the angels say is, listen, don't miss the hope of Christmas. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. John 8:12 explains further. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Christmas then is a reminder that Jesus brings light and life to all who trust him as Lord and Savior. But more so, Jesus says that this hope is how you fight against the darkness. And this hope is how you fight against those feelings that this world is all about you. And this hope is how you fight against the feeling that there's so much pressure for you to get everything right. And this hope is how you fight against the feeling that your hard work just feels like it's never enough, and so you can never find rest. the light and life Jesus brought to earth when he arrived on Christmas transcends your circumstances. It transcends your feelings because it's not based on you. It's because he is the one who conquered death, and that's what the angels meant by risen with healing in his wings. And now, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The angels say, listen, this day we celebrate on Christmas matters. Because Jesus gives us the opportunity for second birth. Not another earthly birth, but a heavenly, eternal birth. Here's how Peter describes it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And here's the reality. At some point, life for us will on planet Earth will come to an end. I mean, that's not new information. But that doesn't have to be the end of our story. Right now, you can have a living hope that doesn't depend on you to be successful. And that is really good news. Light in life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Here's why this matters, because your herald follows your hope. In other words, what's most important about you comes from an overflow of where it is that you find hope. So are you feeling hopeful this Christmas? Are you feeling exhausted from all of the hoops that you've been jumping through just to get to Christmas Day? Are you going through this week, you know, fully aware of the magnitude of what it actually meant when Jesus broke onto the scene that night, 2,000 years ago into humanity? Or are you more aware of all of the parties and the gatherings and everything else is that you need to attend? Listen, Easter means nothing if Christmas never happened. I don't know about you, but I hate that feeling 10 minutes after we open up presents on Christmas Day. You know, I just feel like this sense of letdown. Anybody else feel like that? It's not because I don't like gifts, and it's not because I don't like seeing other people enjoy the gifts that I've provided for them. And it's certainly not because I don't enjoy spending time with my family. I think it's because it's this realization in that moment that maybe I've just spent the last month or so focusing on the wrong things. The angels say to that, listen, we have something amazing to celebrate together on Christmas. Let us herald the newborn king because he is the only one that brings peace and mercy and reconciliation. And I'll tell you, it is that kind of hope we need most of all this Christmas season. Let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, and forgive us, Father, for we know not what we do. I think in a quest, Father, to make the most of Christmas, to make it as grand and as fun and as loving as we can, that sometimes we miss out on what matters most. Now, that the gift of Jesus, breaking onto the scene of humanity, that this week, Father, help us consider ourselves less so that we may consider Jesus more. And Father, I pray that as you transform our hearts, that this week will be filled with a righteous and renewed hope found only in Jesus. And it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us here today. Just a couple quick announcements before we finish up. If you're a first-time guest, thank you so much for taking the opportunity to be here with us today. Before you leave, we just ask you to take a moment and go to our website, lpguest.com, and fill out the guest information panel that you'll see there. At the bottom of that form, you'll see four different ministries that we here at LifePoint support locally. And you have the opportunity to pick one of those ministries. And what we'll do is we'll make a $5 donation in your honor, just as our way of saying, thank you so much for being here with us today. Another thing, this Friday for Christmas Eve, we're going to be doing three Christmas Eve services at 2 p.m., 3:30 p.m., and 5 p.m. And just as a reminder, you know, it's a great opportunity to invite friends and neighbors, you know, that might not otherwise attend a weekly service. A lot of times, man, they absolutely want the opportunity to come to a church on Christmas Eve. We would love the opportunity to be able to welcome them here. Next thing, next Sunday, December 26th, just a reminder that our regular church service will be online. And so we'll be streaming all of our services on our website and our Facebook. But again, just as a reminder, we will not meet here at church. We will be strictly online December 26th. And finally, just as a reminder, we are so grateful for your generosity. So to our members and our regular attenders, you can give your offerings and tithings in four different ways. You can go to our website, you can go into our app, you can text the code, or you can give in one of the two black boxes on your way out. Again, we are so thankful for the way that you give. If this is your first time, that's not something we expect of you. Again, we're just super glad you're here. God bless you guys. I hope you have a great week.